Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Boys! Good Thursday morning. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson. I have so much energy today. It is ridiculous. I don't know why. I am pissed off for greatness, boys. How are we feeling? Are you guys going to elevate? Escalate?
We're good.
Intimidate?
Accelerate. We're good.
Accelerate?
No, we're good.
I don't know why.
No, we're good, man.
Are you guys doing it?
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm up here, boys.
I sound like the character on Winnie the Pooh. Was it the little, I can't remember what he was.
What was he?
Eeyore?
Yeah, yeah, Eeyore.
You guys are Eeyore and I'm whoever.
We're good. Ravens and Titans. Such a great game.
I'm just fired up, boys. You know, sometimes you just wake up and you're like, man, today's going to be a fun show.
You wake up on the right side of the bed.
We got a fun show. Well, I'm on the right side every time.
Yeah,
he always
sits
on the left side, so it's I'm always on the right side of the bed. No, sometimes you're just excited for life, excited for sports, excited for what's going on in the town. You got a new coach with the Preds. We're going to talk with John Hines coming up in hour number two. We got Jonnu Smith on the show today, Titans tight end as he prepares for a trip to Baltimore. Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Hal Gill joining us. I don't know, boys.
I just stick to sports.
I'm just fired up, man. I'm ready to go. Titans Ravens are 2 days away. It's big time stuff. I'm excited, and I spent like 3 hours yesterday. Mm-hmm. I figured it all out. Uh-huh. I figured out how to stop the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
Hit us with it.
Me, some guy who's never coached a day in his life.
You never coached defense in your life.
But God, I was a good high school wide receiver, Derek, okay? In Middle Tennessee around 1999 when there was no good prospects in Tennessee. That's the only reason I got on the field. But I figured it out. I figured it out. It's not hard. It's super easy. Look, Jeffrey Simmons, Jarrell Casey, Daquan Jones have to dominate the A, Bs, and C gaps. No big deal. The outside linebackers and need to absolutely play disciplined football on the option. Kenny Vaccaro's going to have to drop into the box and take the pitch, man. They're going to have to play great man-to-man coverage. Adoree Jackson's going to have to step in. Then they're going to have to disguise those coverages with Dean Pease and just completely fool Lamar Jackson in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's really not that hard, Derek. Just disguise all your coverages, stop the option, hold the line of scrimmage, cover all the players on defense. Just do all those things, and you can beat Baltimore. Oh, and then figure out a way to score on their defense. But, like, you know, that's another thing.
That's beside the point.
We're talking just Lamar here. I figured it out. That's all you got to do, Derek.
I mean, that's
all you got to do.
That's easy. I mean, sounds easy. Easy peasy.
Yeah, man.
And Dean Pease.
There you go.
There you go. It sounds easy. But then you're actually getting the game, and it's like, okay, I'm in A, B, C. Easiest 1, 2, 3 gaps. And I'm still, you know, outside containing. And he still gets around me. And Vaccaro still comes up. And he still gets around Vaccaro. This is just, you know, this is just a matchup. This is a nightmarish match. It's a nightmarish matchup for both defenses, I think, from this respect. You know, the Titans, they haven't been good at stopping a run as of lately. They did a good job against New England, but they were tailor-made for New England. But as a whole, they haven't been as good with stopping the run as of lately. And then compound that with they haven't been good covering tight ends, period.
Irrelevant.
So it's like, you know, what do we do? But then on the flip side, you know, Baltimore is great at pass coverage, but they're okay in the run front. And the Tennessee Titans, that's what they want to do. So it's like this sort of this nightmarish, you know, matchup for both defenses in the sense that, you know, we got to find a way to stop each other's run game. It's done differently. Each team do it a little bit different, but we got to stop it nonetheless.
I'm totally kidding. I tried to figure out for 3 hours how to stop Lamar Jackson, and I have no new ideas, actually, is the truth. I watched so many different styles. I watched a lot of Chiefs plays yesterday because the Chiefs played well against the Ravens. The Browns beat the Ravens. The Chargers last year in the playoffs beat Lamar Jackson, but he's a very different player today. I looked at some of the coverages that Dean Pease used against New England. And excuse me, and I'm still looking at all these things, and I'm going, all right, are they going to use a creeper? Meaning, are they going to roll a guy up who fakes the pressure, right, and then drops him into coverage? Because again, this is going to sound super cliche, but you have to be gap disciplined against this offense, and you got to disguise your coverages. I know it's oversimplification, but that's really what you have to do. And then all you're doing at that point is holding on for dear life. You're just like, please God, don't fool one guy. And because if you fool one guy, the run game is going to beat you. They're going to line up in that pistol, and they're going to run some jet motion, and then they're going to run an option, and then they're just going to leave Kamale Correa unblocked. And then it's going to be Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram against Kamale Correa and on the edge, and we're going to go, oh, crap, that's not good. And yeah. This is a historically, epically good offense running the football, and the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think you're going to stop them. I don't think you can slow them down. I do think that they are qualified, and this is going to sound crazy. I do think that they do have some pieces and some personnel that gives them a chance. Because if the law firm of Casey, Jones, and Simmons can truly hold the fort down in the middle of that offensive line, that will allow, I think, Kenny Vaccaro is going to play a huge role having to stop the run, because that's what he does really well. And if you can, Dean Pease is, how many people, Derek, in your career have you found that are better at disguising coverages than Dean Pease?
There's not many at this point. He does a good job at holding on to one defense until the last moment, and because those safeties are so versatile that Kevin Byard can line up in a box and then get in the middle of the field, or he can line up 7 yards deep, 8 yards deep, and still get in the middle of the field, and disguise the coverage well enough that it's hard for some quarterbacks to read it. But here's the problem with, Jarrell Casey and Simmons and all those guys. Baltimore, we don't know if Mark Ingram was going to play. He didn't practice yesterday.
Jayon Brown also not sure about
him.
Sure
about Jayon Brown. I know Mark Ingram would try to give it a go. I don't know if Jayon Brown can even give it a go. But they got Gus Edwards, who, the guy's a hell of a runner. So is he Mark Ingram? No, but he runs physical, and he runs downhill. Here's the problem with those three guys up front trying to hold the fort. They're going against the Baltimore offensive line with two tackles that are Pro Bowl tackles. Marshall Yanda's going to end up being a Hall of Famer. I mean, these are guys in the middle of this defense, and their tackles are Stanley and Brown Jr. These are guys, this offensive line was built to run and block. I mean, pass block and run block. And they're going to have to handle those. It's going to have to either be a stalemate with Casey and those guys, or they're going to have to get push up front.
Yep.
If they don't get any push up front, honestly, the more and more I look at it and I hear everybody talking, I feel good about this. It's just something about this. Man, they've played against the best defenses in the National Football League, and they haven't missed a beat.
Oh, I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, the Ravens hadn't missed a beat. Yeah. This offense, You know, they played against San Fran, who has one of the best defenses in the National Football League. Young,
great
fast,
defensive line.
Yeah, young, fast players. And they made it a little bit difficult for them, but they still didn't miss a beat. That offense still didn't miss a beat. They still found a way to win the game. And then their defense played well, too. They played against the Rams. They just totally dismantled, you know, who we say is the best defensive player, you know, within the last 3 or 4 years for the Rams. Why am I forgetting his name now? I'm forgetting his name. The defensive tackle for the Rams.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. They just totally manhandled Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
So there's not to say that Simmons and Jarrell Casey and Daquan Jones, they can't handle their own, but they've proven that even against the best ones, they're just going to do what they do. And you might get them a few times, but in the long haul, they're going to win.
I watched one play yesterday where Dean Pease had Jayon Brown in basically head up on the center, on the line of scrimmage, showing blitz. And he turned and ran full speed about 25 yards downfield at the snap of the ball. Didn't even look at the football.
They don't have that speed no more.
Against Brady, I think. Uh-huh. I think it was against the Patriots. And so he's showing blitz in the A-gap, essentially. Head up on the center, 2 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. At the snap of the ball, he turns his entire back to the... Because he needs to get depth, right? Uh-huh. He needs to get his 20-yard drop or whatever. And he takes away the under route or the crossing route of the digs. And I'm just going, those are the types of things. These bizarre, crazy... Like, everything looks one way at the snap of the ball, and then everything's going to look differently. Mm-hmm. Because there's no chance you stop Lamar Jackson. No chance you stop Lamar Jackson unless you can confuse him in the mm-hmm. pocket. And that also requires you to keep him in the pocket.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other issue altogether. So not only do you have to keep him in the pocket and force him to throw the football, but then you have to completely try to fool him with whatever disguises you can come up with. Now, again, that is where... If you're going to go to battle, you want a guy like Dean Pease in your corner. So I'm not saying he can get the job mm-hmm. done, but he is maybe the most qualified to try to do that of all the defensive coordinators in the NFL. I do like their defensive line. I think they need to hit Lamar Jackson as many times as they can. If they're mm-hmm. going to run a bunch of options and they're going to get him on the edge and they're going to get him outside, then I think you got to hit him. Even if the play is designed for him to pitch the ball, mm-hmm. There's just all these things they're going to have to do. And if any one single thing breaks down on any one play, he's gone. And that's the problem is you got to hold him to those four. It's kind of like trying to stop Derrick Henry. Like mm-hmm. You've got to keep him to the 3 and 4 yard gains, because if you miss an assignment, it's going to be a 35 yard gain.
Yeah, and that's the big that's the question. Can they, you know, yeah, he's going to get, you know, some yardage, but can we stop him from getting those explosive plays?
Yep.
You know, yes, you know, we can live with him gaining 5 yards if he takes the ball, if he chooses to run the ball, and we just hit him.
And we get to hit him.
Yeah, but we can't allow him to get these explosive plays. You know, the problem for this is, you know, the Titans hadn't played against an offense like this.
I mean, has anybody?
Yeah, you're right. And maybe those that had, you know, coached against, you know, San Fran when Greg Roman was there, they have an idea of what this offense looks like. But when you haven't coached against this offense, you have no point of reference. You haven't even played against Lamar Jackson. So there's no point of reference. You can't say, well, we played them last year and we did this or whatnot. No, you're going in almost blind, you know, because it's like, okay, we've never faced an offense like this. This probably ends up being one of the best offensive lines we've faced all season.
It's the best rushing attack in NFL history.
Our speed guy is potentially gone for the game. So what do we do? It's just.
Oh, woe is us. We got no chance. I will say they'll play that card well, though.
Oh, yeah, they're going to play that.
That no one's giving them a chance.
But I just think sometimes, and listen, they can go down there and they can win this game. And I'm not saying that can't happen. But you just, you look at the matchup, and if this thing gets out of hand at any point of the game, it's going to be a wrap. If they get down, because this is what happened to teams, you know, when they're playing Baltimore. They figure if we just keep it close and we hit Lamar Jackson, we'll be fine. Well, they score once, and then you figure, okay, I can score. Then you don't score. And then they score again, and then it's all of a sudden it's, uh-oh, we got to change what we got to do. And then you play right into their hands because now you get away from what you want to do as an offense, and you become a three-down team. And when you become a three-down team, that means you're giving the ball back to Lamar Jackson. And when that offense is on a roll, they are on a roll, and you are not stopping them.
No, you're not.
So I believe in DMPs. I really do. If anybody can do it, he can. But it's just going to be difficult. It's going to be extremely difficult because he has no points of reference when playing the Baltimore Ravens.
It's a perfect segue to what I want to talk about next, because there is no frame of reference for Lamar Jackson. So I don't know how – now, Marcus may running – being playing him in practice – There may not be a backup quarterback more qualified to do that, but it's still not Lamar Jackson. It's not even close. So, you know, how do you stop him? I have a question about Lamar for you, Derek. I would like to ask when we come back. And it's I think so much of us are caught up in Lamar Jackson changing the game, right? We've never seen an offense like this. Has Lamar Jackson changed the game? And I don't think that's the right way to look at it. I think there's a different way to look at it. And I want to see if you agree with me. So I'll ask you this question when we come back. Derek Mason, Braden Gull, off and running. We got John Hines later. We got Jonnu Smith later. We got Joe Rexroad later. We got Hal Gill. We got a packed show. Huge playoff game coming up in two games. We got the Preds with the new coach. Huge day for Tennessee Volunteers fans, by the way. Big news yesterday and a big announcement today. So there's just a lot of stuff going on the show. But Lamar Jackson question about changing the game of football when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is Lamar Jackson changing the NFL? It feels like we say this, I don't know, every 5-6 years a new quarterback comes along and Bob Griffin changed the NFL or whatever. Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick, everybody changed the NFL. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And I listen, Lamar Jackson is a special player that's changed the Baltimore Ravens. he's changed the Baltimore Ravens. And what I think is happening, I don't think Lamar Jackson is changing the NFL, because if you're a team and you're going to go, you know what, let's go find the next Lamar Jackson. I don't think you can do that.
No.
Because he's been doing what he's been doing since high school, and it's always looked like this. He's been putting people on skates his entire life. I was at the Florida State Louisville game when they won whatever it was, 57 to like negative 30. Can you have negative 30 points? Like, I was at that game, and he just abused Florida State. He was doing that in high school in Florida. He was doing that at Louisville, and now he's doing it because, and this is where I think the real change is happening, because it is what he has truly done is he's changed the way coaches view the league, and it changes the way they view how to scheme, not necessarily on defense, but on offense. What I love about Greg Roman and what he's done as the offensive coordinator, not only the organizational buy-in around Lamar Jackson that you've been talking about forever, Derek, which is they built their organization around a player's skill set that was extraordinary and have committed to that wholly, and it's worked for them. What I think is really interesting is you don't have to go find the next Lamar Jackson, but what it should teach people is that you can be more creative with your offense. It doesn't all have to be the short passing game or the spread offense or the shotgun. You can go pistol. You can go option. You can go three tight ends. You can go 23 personnel. How many teams run 23 personnel? Two running backs, three tight ends.
How many
teams? So what it's forced people to do, and what I really love about watching them on tape, Baltimore, is that I think it's forcing people, because, again, I think the first response from the fans is, look at what Lamar Jackson's doing. Let's go do that. And you can't, because you can't find another Lamar Jackson. But what you can do is look at what they're doing from a scheme standpoint and say, what elements of that can we do? And I think it's forcing teams to be more creative on offense, and I hope that means we see a more diverse set of systems in the NFL.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. Even with Michael Vick, and Michael Vick – you know, he he forced defenses to have to do things that and play personnel that they were not accustomed to playing. You know, they had to have, you know, another nickel on the field. They had to play with smaller guys rather than these bigger guys. Because if they go in and they play conventional defense, if he breaks contain, look out, he's gone. You're not catching him. And he's done that so many times. So with Michael Vick, they had truly never, ever seen anything like him. I mean, there was nothing close to him.
He's the first super quarterback ever.
Exactly. It was just like he was unstoppable. And then when he became a better passer, you know, unfortunately for him, things happen in his life, and he ends up out of the NFL for a while. So it's like those missed years of what he possibly could have been. And then, you know, 20 years later, along comes another sort of Michael Vick plus.
Well, that was the comp in college. He's like Michael Vick.
He's Mike, but he's Vick plus.
Yeah.
And they were can he pass the ball? And people looked at his rookie year and said, nope, he can't do it. He's not going to. This Baltimore Ravens team is going to fail because Lamar Jackson can't throw the football. Well, he was a rookie, and he was still trying to figure things out, and he was not He was not a natural passer.
Hell, it took Ryan Tannehill 8 years to figure out how to throw the football.
He wasn't a natural passer, but he was a playmaker from the quarterback position. So, you know, they have Marty Morningwig there, which totally didn't fit anything that Lamar does. They got Marty because of Joe Flacco, not because of Lamar Jackson.
People forget the Baltimore fans were calling for Joe Flacco to play in the playoff game.
Absolutely.
At the end of last season.
Hell, I was like, man, they might as well put Joe in there down. And then lo and behold, they come back and they make a game of it. And they almost win it.
But with that system, it maybe made more sense.
Exactly. So then, you know, at the end of the season, you know, they fire Marty Morningwig and, you know, they say, listen, what we're going to do now, forget all this other stuff. Forget this, you know, conventional way of doing football. Forget this drop back quarterback, sit in the pocket type of quarterback. We're done with that. We have the most dynamic player in the NFL. Hell, in football, period. We're going to cater our offense around him. And what better way to do it than to promote Greg Roman, who's had a history of doing this. And lo and behold, Greg Roman travels around the world, get all of this information, brings it back. And you know the best part about this is Lamar Jackson dedicated himself to being a quarterback. Not Greg Roman's bringing it in the system where I get to run, so now I can just be an athlete. No, he's dedicated himself on being a quarterback that can just so happen run. And he's proven with his accuracy, with him being able to stand in the pocket, and then him getting outside of the pocket, running or throwing. So he's bought into what they're teaching him. They bought into, you know, hey, listen, we got a special player here. Let's design what we have around him. Let's not do this thing the other way. Because if we do it the other way, what's going to happen is what happened last year. And people always go back to last year. Yep. Oh, will Lamar Jackson, you know, will he get nervous? Will he break? That was under a different system that didn't fit him, and he still managed to bring his team back and almost win the game.
I mean, I love triple option football in the college game, but this is triple option football with it's an NFL version of
with
that.
With an edge to it.
Because you have to throw the ball in the NFL. So, you there's never going to be a true triple option, right? But this is a pistol, triple option, wing T, whatever you want to call it, with a guy who also throws for 3,700 yards and 35 touchdowns in the air. So, to me, what is so much fun, and again, Mike Vrabel jokingly this week is like, how do you stop Lamar Jackson? Tie his shoelaces together.
it might be true.
And he goes, man, he's so much fun to watch if I wasn't sitting here trying to prepare to stop him. And it's like, I think that there's so much, as a football nerd at my core, right? If I go back to being like the 12-year-old Braden who was like playing video games, who was playing middle school football, like the nerd inside of me, I watch their offense, and I for the life of me, I hope that teams take pieces of it and say, you know what? We can do this. We can't do all of it because we can't find another Lamar Jackson. You're not going to find another Lamar Jackson. But what are they doing with their guards? What are they doing with their tight ends that we can do? And I think the Tennessee Titans, frankly, with their personnel of running the football and wanting to play multiple tight ends the way Arthur Smith likes that, there are some elements of that offense that I think would be so much fun to watch here in Tennessee with the personnel that they have with the play-action pass and a quarterback, frankly, with Ryan Tannehill, who does have some ability to be mobile and get outside and make some things happen. What I am hopeful for is that the way Lamar Jackson changes the league to me is the way we all view the NFL, the way coaches view creativity and the way they view scheme and the way they view personnel packages. And I think it would be so much fun if not everybody looked like the same stinking spread passing offense, which, by the way, I get it is fun. And maybe I'm in the minority, but I love watching. Give me 23 personnel and where you fool every single linebacker on the field with your direction, your misdirection. Like that. I don't know why. I just nerd out on that stuff. No, I love watching it.
No, it's like having in we've heard this many times in sports or just in general. It's like having a Swiss Army knife. It's like having a knife with a screwdriver, a corkscrew, the knife, a screw, you know, something else, and then something else.
Like a little knife and a big knife and some little
something
scissors.
Else, and then you're sitting there and you're trying to cut this, and then you're trying to screw this, but you don't have to get up because everything you need is right in the palm of your hands, and you can sit there all day and just play with it. And that's what the Baltimore Ravens have.
Yeah.
They have the ability to, you know, throw passes, bootleg, triple option. They got all these. They got the everything is open to them.
They're going to run fullback dives.
Yeah, everything is. There's nothing.
Who does that in the NFL?
There's nothing they can't do. Now, I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying they can't be stopped. But from an offensive standpoint, they're not limited in what they can do.
You got to prepare for everything.
Exactly.
No question about it. All right, you guys want to chime in? We got the text line open, 615-737-1025 as well. Brian's going to lead us off when we come back. I'm just fired up, man. I just think it's an exciting matchup. Dean Pease, all those guys, Lamar Jackson. It's just going to be a fun game on Saturday night. So we'll hear from you guys. What do you think about Lamar Jackson changing the league? Or is there another layer to it the way, you know, maybe we've laid out this morning? So we'll get your calls and your texts when we come back right here on Morning Drive. 615-737-1025 is the text line if you'd like to get in that way. Of course, you can get to us on Twitter at Braden Gall at 1025 _MD. Is it at Producer Munson? Is that correct? Did I get that wrong?
Sorry. Just Marquise Munson. I should change it though.
Do you have a different name than you do handle?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's so confusing.
I might just change my handle to Producer Munson.
No. Because what if you want to be president one day? Then you need to change it to President Munson.
I'll be Producer President Munson. Be the double PM.
I don't even know if we need to give out Derek's Twitter account because he doesn't ever read it.
Yeah, I never really go on it.
At D.
I don't even know it.
Mason85.
At D. Mason85. Yeah, D-E-E.
No wonder why you never like my tweets.
I know. I never get any likes from him. Also, 615-737-1025 as well. Lamar Jackson, again, I think he's a revolutionary player, and certainly he's changing the way people view the game. But I think it's the job that Baltimore as an organization has done around Lamar Jackson that is adding this new. And we were talking during the break, it's like there's 12 pages of plays on Madden, and like the last five were just not used by any team anymore because they involved a bunch of tight ends and fullbacks and, you know, option plays. And now all of a sudden it's like coaches are looking down at those last five pages of Madden plays going, wait a second. Some of this stuff that Army used to run in 1946 is pretty cool. Like, and it's working really, really well in Baltimore. And again, Lamar's the one who unlocks all of that. So I just found it fascinating studying them yesterday. Brian wants to chime in. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. The one thing I'm amazed with John Harbaugh is the risk that he took to overhaul the entire organization, what you guys have been talking about. I remember a couple of years ago when Tebow was doing his thing, and he goes to the Jets. They are, 4-12. They're terrible. But they're like, he is not the prototypical quarterback. They stayed with Mark Sanchez over Tim Tebow, and they went 4-12. You got a guy in John Harbaugh that was like, you know what? We got a special talent. We're going to – I mean, he pushed all his chips to the middle of the table, took a huge risk. It could have been a train wreck. That guy goes from, you know, possibly being fired to, if this thing works out the way it's looking – he could be a Hall of Fame coach. I love coaches. I go back to Nick Saban a couple years ago. Who pulls the starting quarterback at halftime of the national championship game and puts you know, this unknown freshman in. I'll tell you who does. Guys that win championships. they take the risk. You know, Dabo Swinney, where he had Kelly Bryant, who took him to the playoffs the year before. They're 4-0. All of a sudden, he goes, yeah, we're going with the front. And who does that? Guys that win championships. The other guy, even John Harbaugh's brother, Jim, man, he took Colin Kaepernick, and the guy can't even throw screen passes after Jim Harbaugh leaves. But what Jim Harbaugh did, and he took an incredible risk, and people, oh, they're not the prototype. That's not the way the pro game is, and blah, 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 blah. And those guys just throw it to the wind and say, you know what? We got something special here, and we're going to – I'm amazed that John Harbaugh had the guts to say, this is what I'm going to do, and it could be a train wreck, but it could be phenomenal. And, I mean, he's reaping the rewards of taking a risk, and it's pretty cool to watch. I'm not even a Ravens fan, but I appreciate a guy that, I mean, overhauled the entire organization just for Lamar. It's pretty cool. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. And let's keep in mind also, just a quick reminder about Colin Kaepernick, one play away from being a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Let's just remind everybody about that. They got to with one pass. They were, what, on like the 7-yard line?
Yeah, it was a fade route to Crabtree, and people thought it was a pass interference.
One play away from being a Super Bowl champion with Greg Roman and that Kaepernick. I do think about Harbaugh, and you played, obviously, there for him with Flacco. Like, think about the if they were to win two Super Bowls, if he were to win a Super Bowl this year, which, again, this is putting the cart way before the horse. I think the Titans can play well in this game. The Chiefs can play them really well. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees in the playoffs. But let's say the Baltimore goes and wins a Super Bowl. Can you imagine a coach with two Super Bowl rings? Almost all coaches that have multiple rings are tied to the same quarterback, right? Yeah. Like if Sean Payton wins the second one, it's because of Drew Brees.
Exactly.
Belichick because of Brady. You know, whatever. I don't think there's going to ever be a team or a coach that could claim two championships with two different quarterbacks that are so much further away, and the offenses are so much further away from each other than Joe Flacco and that team in 2012 and Lamar Jackson and that team today.
Yeah, the first Super Bowl was won differently, with a different personnel, a more veteran team. So they leaned on their defense a lot, but Joe Flacco gets hot in the playoffs, and they win it by throwing the football. Because that, you know, even though they pride themselves on defense, the defense wasn't playing as good that year. They had a bunch of injuries, but they were able to make it work because they had, you know, they had the personnel to match the quarterback. They had some guys that can get downfield. They got some guys that were shifty, you know, had the running back, and, you know, they had the quarterback that can throw up deep. So that offense was built for Joe Flacco, and in hopes that he would win the championship, and lo and behold, he did. And then, you know, now John Harbaugh's on the hot seat, and, you know, Ozzie Smith is getting ready to step down, and they're about to get a new GM, but the GM that is going to be the new GM, he's been there forever, so he knows the organization. All of a sudden, right before Ozzie steps down, he and John says, you know what, we're drafting at the end of the first round. Why not? I'm tired of trying to win a championship the conventional way with a drop back quarterback, a big arm quarterback, because we've done that. This is this guy sitting right here that is a special player. Damn everything else. Throw caution to the wind. Let's draft him and then build an offense around him.
Ozzie Newsome's final decision.
Yeah, that
basically
was his final decision. And basically, the part that I love is that everyone bought in an organization because they were not used to this. This is not what Baltimore's used to, but they bought into it and said, okay, we're going to draft this guy and we're going to take all these players that we had to fit one system. We got to let them go because we're getting a bunch of new players. And they changed the offensive coordinator the next following year. And lo and behold, this is what we get. But it took a head coach and a GM on his way out. He's about to retire to say, let's do it a different way. Because if we pass up on this guy, then that might be the biggest mistake we make as an organization.
And again, who knows? We've talked about this a million times. Mm-hmm. Who knows how long it lasts?
Exactly. You still don't know.
Somebody comes up with something new in the NFL. Somebody then comes up with some way to stop it. Like, that's just the way it works in the NFL. So it's not like this particular thing is going to work forever. Greg Roman's going to have to evolve. Lamar Jackson's going to have to evolve. But for right now, it's so much stinking fun to watch. Again, I found myself watching Ravens games all season just going like, this is unlike anything any of these defensive players have ever seen. Because it's all like, again, it's like 1950s college football schemes. And I'm going, it's great. I love seeing it. And I don't, good luck, Vrabel and Pease. Have fun, dude.
You know, I look at this offense and it's sustainable. For this reason, I think it's sustainable. The only way it's not sustainable is if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
This is sustainable because what Michael Vick was doing was sustainable, but then he chose to do things outside of football that caused him to lose his job for a few years. What they were doing in San Francisco was sustainable, but then it was friction with the head coach and Jim Harbaugh.
He's not the smoothest Harbaugh.
Absolutely. So eventually that just soured. It didn't sour because the system wasn't working anymore.
Right.
It soured because of things outside of the system. If they can keep that intact, this system's going to work for a very long time. The only way it doesn't work is if Lamar gets hurt, Greg Roman leaves.
Which is
could possibly have happened.
Yeah, both those things are possible. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame shows. First off, we'll be at the playoff edition of the kickoff from 9 a.m. to noon. After that, Chase McCabe and Teron Davenport will be live from Baltimore. That's right, live from Baltimore from noon until 2. Hopefully the Constable's got some chaperoning or something. There needs to be an oversight committee on the Constable. Then catch a special edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 5 p.m. live on location from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, located at 1003 Russell Street, followed by the NFL pregame show featuring also Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, live from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the AFC divisional round playoff game with the Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Some big news. We'll take a quick break from the NFL and Baltimore and the Titans game. We'll talk with Jonnu Smith coming up next hour. Also, new Predators head coach John Hines going to join us. However, it could be a very big day for the Tennessee Vols. Also a big day yesterday. So some news from Knoxville. We'll get to that. You're not going to want to miss Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. A lot of SEC news, some nuggets, Derek, in the middle of the NFL playoffs. Some nuggets and Tennessee Volunteers fans. It looks like Cade Mays, former five-star offensive lineman who went to Georgia, who's from Knoxville area, and whose father played offensive line at Tennessee, whose younger brother is going to be at the University of Tennessee coming up in the fall, or I guess this next season, has decided to transfer from Georgia as a graduate transfer away, and will be at will transfer back to Tennessee, which right now gives you Wanya Morris, Darnell Wright, Cade Mays, all five-star recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Smith is scheduled to make his announcement at noon Central Time today. I think it would be idiotic for Trey Smith to risk further medical issue in college while his earnings potential is right now today at its highest. I think you got to go try to make as much money as possible, because if you're dealing with this blood clot injury, this issue, this health thing, it could crop up at any moment, and all of a sudden you can't make money doing what you want to do. So it would make no sense for him to stay, but imagine if he does, mm-hmm. and your offensive line has 4 5-star starters all of a sudden. Jeremy Pruitt might be able to fix that offensive line in no time flat. So big news about Cade Mays yesterday and Trey Smith today.
Yeah, if this is what you want to do as a head coach in any league, but in particular the SEC. You got to build up your two lines. You got to build up your defensive line. You got to build up your offensive line. And then you kind of surround people around them. Obviously, the quarterback is number one, but then you got to protect the quarterback and get to the quarterback. And I think Jeremy Pruitt is doing it the right way. It would be great if Trey Smith decided to come back, but it would be a smart business move for him to leave, because you don't know when it's going to crop back up for him. And I don't think his stock is going to rise any higher next year than what it is now.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Actually, it could possibly fall because if you end up missing games,
right.
Then that becomes another red flag for a kid that's exceptionally talented.
And it's not like a knee
injury.
It's
just unfortunate that he has to deal with these blood clots.
Yeah, it's not a knee injury where, like on any given play, it might hurt you. Like, no, this is like
life.
Like, your career is done. It's not like you can recover from this, like life and death. So I think it just feels like it would be a dumb financial decision for Trey Smith to come back. Certainly Tennessee fans. I think you should be, fingers crossed, and if it happens, great, but I would expect him to leave. Either way, you've replaced him with Cade Mays, who's a pretty good offensive lineman. In the meantime, Georgia loses DeAndre Swift, who's going to the NFL. Cade Mays is leaving. Andrew Thomas is going. Now Jake Fromm announces he's leaving to go to the NFL as well. I don't follow that decision as much because clearly his stock has regressed. Now, you could argue, is there anything he can do to prove that he's a different player than what he is? Like, he's not going to make his arm all of a sudden significantly stronger. He's already a pretty good processor of information. I still think another year, especially with those good, talented young receivers that they had, those freshmen, George Pickens and some of those guys, I think another year for Jake Fromm would have done him some good. I could have, my advice would be probably come back. I don't see him being drafted in the first round, but Jake Fromm leaving as well as Alabama quarterback, which we have not really discussed. I know you guys probably talked about it, but I have not had a chance to comment. With Tua leaving as well, just like Trey Smith, makes no sense for Tua to stay after two major injuries for me. So Jake Fromm leaving, Tua leaving, which one of those surprising, not surprising for you?
None of them are – well, I guess Fromm in a sense is, but you can understand why his stock is not going to rise any higher next year than what it is. Actually, again, it can probably regress. Right now he's probably second, third rounder. I don't think next year if he comes back he's going to be anything but a second or third rounder because his physical attributes are not what it's not going to put him in the first round. Now, he's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have that next tier of attributes that are going to push him into the first round. He don't want to make the mistake that I can't remember the kid's name. I think it's from USC that chose to come back.
Matt Barkley.
Yeah, Barkley. He could have been a surefire first round. He would have been a top five pick.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, I want to come back. I want to win a national championship.
Yeah.
He went from being a surefire top 10 pick to
like fourth round or whatever.
Fourth, fifth round. And then he became a journeyman.
Yep.
So that's the mistake you don't want to make too. Where you stay another extra year, and then all of a sudden your stock gets worse. So I understand it, I understand it some, but then, could you stay another year and get a little bit better? Possibly, but at that position, I don't think he's been playing since he was a freshman.
Yeah.
So I don't think he can get no better than what he is now.
So Tennessee takes a pretty big step forward at the detriment of an SEC East opponent who's also now going to be replacing their quarterback. So the SEC East – Florida Gators sitting back going, okay.
Yeah.
So Dan Mullen and Florida could be, Georgia coming back to the pack a little bit in the SEC East while Tennessee's taking this big step forward in the last couple of days. We're so far from starting SEC Media Day conversations here, but you start to look at the direction of the programs and it's easy to get excited about Tennessee, and Georgia is going to be kind of in this rebuild mode on offense. Defensively, they are going to be exceptionally good. But offensively, they've got a lot of pieces they got to replace. Tennessee's got to find some receivers as well, so they're doing that. It looks like when Joe Moorhead was fired, it looks like Mike Leach is interviewing at Mississippi State.
Please let him go. Yes, please. All these different personalities. You thought the SEC was bad the last couple of years with personalities. Man, add Leach in there, Ed Orgeron,
Lane Kiffin in the same state.
Gosh, man, you're talking about Nick Saban. You're talking about a bunch of personalities in this conference, man.
Did you see that? So Steve Sarkisian was also mentioned for the head coaching job at Mississippi State. Think about this. You would then have three former USC head football coaches in the SEC West.
Mm.
Coach O, Steve Sarkisian, and Lane Kiffin. All were head coach at USC, all in the SEC West.
And two playing under Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. I want Mike Leach.
Yeah, I want Mike
Give
Leach.
Give me all the Mike Leach.
Yes, because we get to hear what he says every week.
And I want him talking about, like, what happens around Mississippi, like around Starkville.
Yeah.
The way he talks about just life, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, well, they got this big marijuana factory over here in Stark, Vegas. And like, and all of a sudden he's going on these tangents about like agriculture.
I can't wait,
and
man.
Like,
I want his Please thoughts on the cowbell. I want his breakdown, full breakdown on what he thinks about cowbells.
100%. Like, and like why the bell creates the echo. And like, he would give us an entire
breakdown. A complete breakdown.
I just think
how it was made, everything.
He's coached in Lubbock, Texas and Pullman, Washington. What do Lubbock, Texas, and Pullman, Washington have in common with Starkville, Mississippi? They are in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes it that way. He likes this small town sort of out in the country kind of thing. It's really why Mississippi State's one of the few jobs that fits with what he kind of likes. And so I think it would be fantastic to watch Mike Leach in the SEC.
Does it worry you, though, because obviously he doesn't have a good history of defense? And this is a conference of defense.
But here's the issue with Mississippi State. They have lost their minds. They've lost their minds because Dan Mullen tricked them into thinking they're good. And I'm sorry, Mississippi State fans, you're the worst program in the West. And that's not a knock on you. That's just how tough the West is.
Uh-huh.
And Dan Mullen achieved at a level that no one else in the history of Mississippi State football has ever achieved at. So I think going opposite of what like Alabama and LSU do, which is recruit these big studs, like go spread offense, go air raid, try something different. It's why I think Vandy should run the triple option, because you cannot compete with the big boys in those conferences, Vanderbilt in the East, Mississippi State in the West, without trying something different. And I Mike Leach is different.
Yeah, I guess Mullen did for Mississippi State what Franklin did for Vandy, tricked the fans into thinking they are consistently supposed to be this powerhouse.
Mississippi State was in the very first playoff rankings. They were in the top four.
Yeah.
He developed Alex Smith. He developed Tim Tebow. He found Dak Prescott. He's the winningest coach in Mississippi State history. You are not going to replicate that.
No, you're not.
So try something different. And oh, by the way, make us all laugh along the way. What's wrong with
humor.
That?
Give us some humor, please.
I mean, sounds good to me.
Do you think the people in Starkville will get tired of him?
No, not at all. Negative.
Not once you start to like. Not once you get into it, right?
Uh-huh.
Like you may read some clips or watch some highlights and be like, "Oh, this guy's kind of weird." Mm-hmm. But then I think once you're in it, uh-huh. and then it's every couple days,
he hypnotizes you.
And he, I will say this, because he's been generally pretty entertaining, nice guy, and a good guy. Again, I worked with him a little bit at Sirius. He got a little petulant this year.
Mm-hmm.
He said some stuff that he probably shouldn't have said about his players, about his players' family. You know, like he was saying things that probably crossed lines when he was like, "Oh, these fat, lazy kids, you know, doing whatever." Uh-huh. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not going to get it right, but he was acting kind of like it felt like he was fed up a little mm-hmm. bit with Washington State, and maybe said some things that if he said them in the SEC mm-hmm. would cause a massive storm. So I want him to come in here and stir it all up, man.
Please let him come
Come down here and stir it all up.
Please.
A trip to Atlanta
yes.
for SEC Media Days yes. would be amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I don't care. I would go to Starkville to just go do SEC Media Days in Starkville. I'll eat at the one restaurant they have all four nights. It's fine. We're being a little harsh on Starkville. I apologize, Mississippi State fans. I just want you to have Mike Leach.
Please,
fantastic.
Please.
We got Jonnu Smith next hour. We got John Hines from the Nashville Predators. I've got some just revolutionary concepts about John Hines and the Predators. It'll change your mind.
Oh, wow.
It'll change your way of thinking. It'll change your life.
Revolutionary?
It's revolutionary.
Man.
We're going to do that next hour as well. Also, when we come back, we've talked a lot about stopping Lamar Jackson for the Titans. Well, there's another side of the football mm-hmm. in this game. And there are a couple guys, a couple dudes, got to make plays. We'll talk to one next hour, Jonnu Smith, but there's a few other ones that got to make plays. We'll get to those guys when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.